Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's great to see a number able to come out this afternoon as we are here to celebrate together, to celebrate what God has done in the lives of Steve and Vicky. And that is the reason we're here. It's to praise God. It's to say he has done something great, and we are so grateful to him for that. We would invite you all to stay for refreshments afterwards. There's lots of sandwiches and things, so please do stay. I hope they won't be too curled up at the corners in this heat, but they'll match us if they are, so that's no problem. Psalm. The book of Psalms is a book of songs from the Old Testament, the songs the Jews used to sing. And this psalm, Psalm 96, starts off saying, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvellous deeds among all peoples." We're told to do a number of things there. We're told to sing, we're told to praise, we're told to proclaim and declare. As Christians, we believe things that are tremendous, truths which go to the very foundation of our being. And we would love to share that with many others. And that's why we love to invite those who don't know Jesus yet to come as well and hear some of the things we have to say. It's why singing is a great part as well of Christian worship. And all the songs today have been chosen by Steve or by Vicky, and so blame them if you don't like them. That's not my choice, but I probably would have done as well. They're great ones. And this psalm talks then about the things we ought to do, sing to God, proclaim him. But then it goes on, and it says, for, it tells us a reason why we should praise God. It says, because he is great. Great is the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. He's to be feared above all gods. Anything else we think is important is nothing compared to God. For all the gods of the nations are just idols. They're empty. They're made by us. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, the psalm says. Strength and joy are in his sanctuary, in the place where he lives. Strength and glory are there. And our first song is a song which does reflect that. And it says, from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, everything reveals the majesty of God. Even people who don't believe in God say, isn't nature marvelous? And we have to say, well, where does that sense of marvel come from? It comes because God has put it in us to know him. He longs for us to know him. And we reflect that in this song. And all of them together, the song says, exclaim, it's indescribable, uncontainable, that he could place the stars in the sky. And the last verse then adds to the fact that it's amazing that he even knows and loves us. So let's stand together and sing this song.
Amen.
might stay standing as we come before this amazing God. Lord, we want to acknowledge that those things we've just sung, we would want to be true from our hearts, that you are amazing, that when we think of the things you've made in this world and the wonders of the contrast between winter and summer and even day and night, that you have created that and placed us in the middle of it so that we can enjoy it and we can be part of it and we can even begin to manage it under you. Lord, what an amazing world you have created. But Lord, as we think of your greatness, we are even more blown away when we consider the fact that you know the depths of our hearts. You know the people we are. You know the things we think and do and say. And yet you still love us. You want us to change, Lord. And you want to be involved in changing us. No one else can help us. But you still love us, even for what you see when you look. And we praise you for that and acknowledge you are amazing, eternal God. And we commit this time to you now, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. Well, it is great to see so many people here this afternoon, and what we're here for might seem a bit strange to some of you. A load of water, it isn't usually here, it's usually covered over and so on, but it's there and it's been heated, and we're all here talking about Steve and Vicky and what's happened. Yeah. And that's because they have asked if they could be baptized. And so before we do baptize them as part of God's people here in this place, it's really important for us to understand, well, what does that mean? And why do we do it perhaps especially like we do here? And many other churches do it like this as well. The thing is, you see, when we read the Bible, we find one of the clearest commands that Jesus gives to those who say they want to follow him is that they should get baptized. In Acts chapter 2, Peter has just preached the first sermon after the day of Pentecost. And he was explaining about Jesus and what he'd come to do and everything. And it says there, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? What should we do to be saved? What should we do in the light of who Jesus is and what he's come to do? And Peter's answer is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told us, and the apostles preached as well, we must be baptized. But what is baptism all about? Well, basically, the Bible teaches that baptism is a visual aid. It's a visual aid of something which has happened in the life of an individual. And if you know and love Steve and Vicky, you hopefully are interested in what's gone on in their lives. Whether you agree with it or understand it, you want to understand a bit more of, well, why are they wanting to do this strange thing with this strange group of people? What has happened in them? And this baptism helps give a visual aid to that. It's a dramatic expression of something which in other ways is often invisible, and that is faith. They have come to faith, we might say as well. So to understand what we're doing this afternoon, we understand what it is that God has done for us. That's perhaps the better way round of putting it. Rather than saying, well, why are Vicky and Steve doing this? We say, well, why has God done what he's done for them? And that might help us to understand it a bit more. The first chapters of the Bible, for example, they tell us how God, Father, Son and Spirit, made a world which is perfect. And they made humans as the peak of creation. He made us to manage creation for God's glory and for our enjoyments. But those first chapters of the Bible also tell us that the first humans decided they wanted something different. They weren't content with what God had made and with how he wanted things to run. They wanted to actually be like God himself. And so we read in Genesis 3 about the way that human beings, man and woman, rebelled. And that rebellious gene in our first parents was passed down to each one of us. It's why all of us who've got children know you don't teach a child naughty things. But they just seem to naturally do them. Our role as parents is to try and help them see what is the right way to live. A rebellious gene is just there within our beings. It's been passed right down to each one of us. And that is why the world is in the mess it is. People say, why is there suffering in the world? Well, the first chapters of Genesis explain it. It's because we're not living the way God called us to. And there is now bitterness and distrust and hurt and disease through everything we know. But the amazing fact was that, of course, being God, he always knew that would happen. When he made the world at the beginning, he knew what was happening, what was going to develop. And he had a plan ready prepared. And the rest of this book, the Bible, goes on to explain that plan to us. He could have just crumpled everything up and started again. We wouldn't have ever known about it. But God had something much better in mind, because he had a real love for these rebellious, sinful creatures, that he intended to provide a way that we could be restored and remade. And the big problem in this restoration work was, how can I forgive what they've done, but also deal with the problem of what they've done? Deal with the sin, if you like, without destroying the sinner. Because there's no point just saying, well, I forgive you, if people aren't changed. If people don't change when they've been forgiven, then you've still got just the same problems, haven't you? Heaven wouldn't be heaven if it's going to be full of people who are going to go on, sooner or later, lying and cheating and hurting and killing. But God had a perfect plan. And throughout many ages, it's the Old Testament part of the Bible that we've got, we find that he brought history to a point where everything was prepared for his plan to come about. And when one of his early followers, Paul, was writing to another man, Titus, he said this in chapter 3 of that letter. He said, at one time we too were foolish. We were disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. This is life, he said. We're all like that. We're all in that situation. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he said, he saved us. That was the crucial time in history. The kindness and love of God appeared. You might think, well, what did that look like? What does the kindness and love of God look like? And what Paul's talking about in that letter is he's talking about a person coming. He's talking about God himself becoming human. Fully man, but fully God. Jesus Christ. So that at last there was a human being who didn't by nature rebel or sin. A human being who lived a perfect life. But not just a person who could stand up there and look different from all the rest of us, but a perfect man who would say, I will stand as your representative. Who would say, I'll be punished instead of you. So that you can be forgiven, so you can be restored. Even though it'll mean I have to suffer unimaginably, it will mean you don't have to. And that's just what Jesus did. He came to this world, he was born, he lived, he taught, he was rejected, he died. Not in some random act of injustice, but by the plan of God. He was punished in place of any individual who repented and by faith would receive what he had done. So you might forgive us Christians if we go on a bit about Jesus. Because he is just everything to us. He has done all of this for us. What he's done for us, what we've received of him. Without him, Paul said in another letter, we are lost, we're helpless, we're dead. And we deserve to be. It's what we've earned for our rebellion. Of course that doesn't mean we're all as bad as we possibly could be, or as bad as everybody, as somebody else might be. But each one of us isn't as perfect, even by our own standards, as we would like to be. So imagine how far we fall short of God's standard. And yet his purity means imperfection has to be burnt up. That's the state we're born into. You don't need to do anything to go to hell. It's the destination we are all born heading towards. And that's why that word there is so important. But when the kindness and love of God. At one time we're all that stuff, he says. And the good news of what we believe as Christians is that there is a but we can live by. And we're celebrating that but today in Stephen Vicky's life. Something has happened which has changed them from one state into another state. God has done what is necessary for them to be able to escape. They've had a bailout. Jesus means that another destination is now possible. We can be restored. We can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. We can become people with a future. People with a purpose. The purpose God has for us. The purpose we were created to have. We don't deserve it in the slightest. A bit later on, in just a few verses' time there, he says, he saved us not because of righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. It's a Bible word for that. It's the word grace. We don't deserve it. We deserve the opposite, but God has still done it for us. No one is too bad for God. Look, Stephen Vicky are here. And no one is too good for God. I'm here. No. The offer is the same. Whoever we are, we need what he offers. And it's received by the great gift of God, faith. That's what we're here to celebrate this afternoon. Faith is hearing about that wonderful salvation offer that God has arranged for us, and then turning away from living that empty life of selfishness and greed, acknowledging that way is the natural way which will lead to hell. But rather than that, receiving his new life with joy. That's why we're happy on an occasion like this. Because Steve and Vicky have come to faith. God has opened their eyes to their need and to his immense love and has led them to see what Jesus did. He did for them. Now, even though they're husband and wife, their stories and their journeys to this point are very different, as we'll hear in a little bit. But now they have in common the most important thing possible, their awareness of their need of Jesus and their faith in him as the only answer to that need. It's happened to many others in this room, I know. It's happened to me. It's happened to millions down through the ages. Heaven's going to be a full place. There's room for more, and there's room for us. But what about now? What does it mean then, once you become a Christian? Okay, now this bailout has happened. What does life hold for a believer in Jesus? Many fear that it's all going to be long faces and lists of what we can't do. Certainly it often does mean times of hardship and challenge, as we find God's Spirit dealing with those areas in our lives that are so far short of perfect. Or as we become increasingly aware of the needs around us, we might be challenged in ways we never were before. But far outweighing the difficulties are the wonderful benefits of following Jesus. Again, just a few verses on from what Paul said in this letter, he goes on to say, he saved us so that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Heirs. Isn't it great to know you're an heir? You're going to inherit something one day. Especially if it's a rich aunt or uncle or grandparent or something, and you think, yeah, we're onto a good thing here. Well, this is heirs of God. Fellow heirs with Jesus, his eternal son. Everything that he has is coming to us. True, the calling is to walk as closely to Jesus as we can, following him. But the fact is that he is the source of all real joy and fulfillment. Until we go to be with him, what he intends for us is that we find a joy and peace which life outside him could never provide. Christians have discovered, you see, that the joys of this life without Jesus just prove to be empty. You can try them all. There's a whole book in the Bible that talks about somebody who tried everything. Tried women, he tried work, he tried pleasure, all sorts of stuff. And ended up saying it's just empty. There's nothing to it. But once we follow Jesus and understand him, everything takes on a deeper, more wonderful meaning. We love our families even more because their love reminds us of his love. We become better friends because we want to honor Jesus in those friendships. We work harder for our employers or in our studies because we want to honor him in our careers. We enjoy food and drink and fun and music and sport because he's given us those things to enjoy. And we enjoy these things so much more because we're not making them the most important thing in our lives. We're saying they aren't the ultimate. So I'll just enjoy them, and if they're taken away, it doesn't really matter because I've still got the ultimate, which is Jesus himself. It's a great life if we keep following Jesus closely. I know we will slip away at times, and we will have to be brought back, and that's why we always want people to be part of a bigger fellowship, grouping of his people, so that we've got that support to help us. But ultimately, we're safe forever because he has promised. I'm holding you, he says. Be sure and secure in that. So that's what the Christian life is all about. It's about us being free. Free to be what we were made to be. Not struggling to be something we weren't. And the beginning of that is what we're celebrating this evening. So back to baptism, that verse. Repent and be baptized. Repent is turning away from your old style of life. Baptism is the sign of the faith that's come. And it says it's for the forgiveness of your sins. And so you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God himself living in you. And all this water, it represents visibly and tangibly what has gone on in their life. They are identifying with Jesus. Jesus who died and was buried and rose again. The drama is clearer because of the amount of water we use. If you use less water, it's not quite so clear. But in Romans chapter 6, Paul spells it out again in a clear way. He says, you go into the water and you're dying with Christ. You're leaving behind your old life. You're saying, that's nothing to me anymore. All the ways I used to think and act, I say goodbye to them. Going under the water, you're saying, those things are dead, they're buried, they're left. And coming up from the water, you're saying, now I'm rising to a new life of love and joy and peace and all the fruit the Spirit wants to bring in my life. We need to be clear, getting baptized doesn't make you a Christian. It simply means you're taking the first step as an obedient Christian, saying, this is one of the main things Jesus said to do, so I will do this for him. And these truths are so important that we believers long to share them with others. Going back to that letter of Titus, a bit earlier on in the letter, Paul said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It's there for us all. Nobody needs not know what Steve and Vicky know. We can all have that new life. And so, while they're doing this, we're also being challenged. Those of us who are Christians are being challenged about how am I living in the light of my baptism, the promises I made then. And those who aren't Christians are being challenged about, am I just going to ignore what they're saying has made such a difference in their life? Am I just going to say, no, it's nothing to me. I'll carry on. I'll face God on my own. But knowing deep down how dangerous a position that is. What about us? Well, we're going to sing another song now, and then Steve's going to come up and tell us something of how he got to where he is, and Vicky's going to come up and then share, and they're both looking forward to this like anything. But it's going to be great to hear what they've got to share with us. Let's stand again. This is explaining this song. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light and my strength and my song. He's a cornerstone I'm building on. He's solid ground. He's firm, whatever storms there will be. Let's stand and sing this song together.
My life, my strength, my song, it's yours.
Please do sit down. So if you'd both like to come up, the power of Christ you stand. Take comfort in that.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this, Mike.
In the beginning, God created me. A few months later, when I was ready, well, it was about 7 weeks early, my brother and I, Tim, were born. I came into a family that knew God and Jesus Christ, and from that moment, I was brought up in a Christian way of life. When I was about 6 or 7, my brother and I decided to ask Jesus into our lives. I remember we were in our bedroom and we just came out with it. There was no major life-changing experience, but I do remember that my early Sunday school life was very enjoyable. When I was about 7 years old, Mum and Dad decided to leave our church. I don't still know the reasons why, but I know they had their reasons. We didn't go to church for many years after this, but to tell the truth, I was never actually comfortable going to church. I still believe that God and Jesus were in my life, but because I believed that God was everywhere, why did I actually need to go to church? Well, fast forward a few years and Tim went to university and went to church via the Christian Union. Mum went to Bunyan Baptist Church, and when Mum and Dad moved away to Gloucestershire, they both joined a local church there, but still I stayed away. Well, a couple of years ago, Vicky and I talked about going to a church purely to make a new group of friends. At this time, Vicky was an atheist and Jesus just didn't figure in her life at all. Well, this was just talk and we didn't actually do anything about it. It just got put on the back burner. Now, looking back, I think that this was God's way of saying to us that he had a future plan for both of us here at Longmeadow. Now, fast forward again to Friday, the 8th of January 2010. And this weekend would change our lives and my life forever. We were due to go and see my brother and his wife Susie for a belated Christmas get-together. If you can remember, the week leading up to this weekend, it had been snowing very heavily, and they live up in Derbyshire, and on the Friday, people were telling me not to go. Do you think it's wise to travel? You've got such a long journey. Well, Tim, on the other hand, being Tim, just said, nah, it's not that bad. Come up anyway. It's not... So I knew that we were going to make it, and I knew that we had to go. I remember being in Molly's bedroom just before we were due to leave, looking out at the snow falling, and I said a prayer to God, just ask him for a safe journey, and we would get there. Well, we did, and he gave us that journey. Never mind that the windscreen washer had packed up and visibility was very limited, but that's another story. On the Sunday, I asked Susie if she planned to go to church as Tim was recovering from an appendix operation. She said she wasn't going to go, but she would take us if we wanted to. I didn't want to go at first, but to my amazement, Vicky wanted to go very much. Vicky, the definite non-believer. And after a while, I could see that this decision not to go was upsetting Vicky, so reluctantly I changed my mind. And Susie, Molly, myself and Vicky went to the church. And what an experience that was. I and both of us were made to feel so welcome. It was just as if we belonged there. It's difficult to express my feelings about the service, but the music, the sermon, everything was just mind-blowing. I knew that this was what was missing in my life. I needed to go to church. Not just any church, but the same one as... Sorry, but the one with the same view as this, an evangelical church. Vicky and I said on our way back to the car after the service that we would have to find a church to go to. And Susie had told us of a website called findachurch.com. So on the way, when we were back home in Stevenage, Vicky went on the website and Longmeadow was one of the churches that came up. We read the information that was given. And I remembered David through my work at the crematorium and liked his style of preaching. And this was one of the main reasons we decided to give Longmeadow a go. And it was an evangelical church within walking distance of our home. Due to my work rota, I'm meant to work one Sunday a month. we wouldn't be able to come to church until 2 weeks later, and that just seemed such a long way off. It finally arrived. Sunday the 24th of January 2010. We arrived for the 9:30 service, and straight away we were made to feel so welcome. We had come with John and Claire, and together, as we still do, sit right at the back. Well, I was disappointed at first because I was told that David was away and I wanted Vicky to meet him. Ben took to the lectern, and it wasn't a disappointment, I can assure you. We were reading from Genesis, chapter 2, at the beginning of the Bible. This was the beginning of our church life, and as John put it, this was meant to be. After this first Sunday, I wanted to come back to experience more. The following week, we met David and Liz again, and I really enjoyed this time at church. The following week, we made arrangements to meet David and Liz at their home for a chat and get to know one another. As I am now, I was slightly nervous when we arrived at the house, but I shouldn't have been. We were again made to feel so welcome, and I knew from this first meeting with David and Liz that Longmeadow was the church that I was meant to worship at. It was after this time together, after the first meeting, whilst walking home, that quietly I asked the Holy Spirit to be at the forefront of my life. Over the next few weeks, Vicky and I worked through the book Light for Life with David and Liz and Ben, working towards our baptism. It was during this time, quite early on, that my brother was diagnosed with a very rare form of bowel cancer. I felt that if this had happened prior to my arrival at Longmeadow, I wouldn't have coped with the news as well as I have. To know that God is in control of everything that happens is a massive support, not just in this case, but in every aspect of my life. Like I said at the beginning of this testimony, I was brought up in a Christian home. Mum and Dad had told me that God had a unique plan for me, and I feel that part of this plan was to leave the church, but not my faith, and find my own way back. And I can positively say, without Vicky's help, this part of the plan would not have happened. And I'm also sure that when we went to the church in Derby, the Holy Spirit, whom I had asked into my life all those years ago, had made itself known again, telling me to trust in God. It's also the change in Vicky that I know God is working in my life. Her outlook on life has completely changed, but that's her story. To finish, I just want to thank everyone here for being part of this special day. To know that I have you, my church family, to turn to, as well as my own, is so comforting. Through the teachings with Ben and David, and so far in my church life, it's amazing to know what Jesus has done for me and everyone who believes in him. God the Father sent his only Son, Christ, to live on earth. Jesus lived a sin-free life and showed us the way to live as God intended. Jesus then willingly gave himself up for crucifixion to die for us and bear our sins so that we may be forgiven. Before he died, he promised he would rise again. 3 days later, he fulfilled this promise and he rose from the dead. And because of this, we can also believe that when Jesus says he will return once he has prepared a place for us in heaven, this promise means that if we believe in Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit into our lives, we can be assured that when we die, we will live with God for eternity. We should also remember what a massive sacrifice Jesus made for us. And as we think of what Christ did with faith, our hearts are encouraged and strengthened. God has brought me here, and I'm excited to know that my life has a whole new outlook now with Jesus as my Saviour. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Thank you.
Could we just hear it again, actually, isn't
there? We're going to sing about the majestic Jesus that we worship. This song's chosen by Steve, particularly Majesty. Worship his majesty. To Jesus be the glory, honour and praise. Let's stand and sing.
I just want to start by saying a huge thank you to all the church members for welcoming us into your family with such open arms. Your kindness has been so overwhelming, and we are truly blessed to be in such great company. Over the past 17 years, I have had hatred in my heart, a hate of God, a hate of religion and faith. This seems to have started because of a particular day back in 93 when I was just 10 years old. My life before this day was ordinary. As a child, I believed in God, prayed most nights before bedtime, sang in the school choir, and I remember having an ambition to be a nun. But one sunny weekend, my dad and I went around to my grandparents' house to deliver their newspapers. This was usual, and I would normally be treated to pocket money and sweets. I was the first to reach the house and found the front door to be open, so I just walked straight in. I could see my granddad, and I couldn't understand at first what was happening, but then realised he was laying on the sofa in so much pain, calling out for help. He looked me straight in the eyes and begged me to help him. I was so confused, I just remember sitting on the stairs not knowing what to do. My dad then came in. It felt like an age, but it must have only been a few moments. And all I could remember after that was waiting in the car, seeing an ambulance arrive, and then my dad coming out to tell me my granddad had died. At 10 years old, believing in God, believing he was there to help people, putting all my love and trust in him, I was horrified to think he had let my granddad, a man I loved and respected, die in so much pain, allowing him to call out for help and allow me to stand by and watch so helplessly. I began to hate God, hate everything he had let happen. This hatred grew throughout the years, throughout my teens when I hated myself and was anorexic and attempted self-harm. Then when I was 17 years old, I had anxiety attacks at one of my first work placements. The managing director would verbally bully me, telling me my work was not up to scratch, and blame me for his own mistakes. I had to put all my effort into that company and couldn't cope with the constant put-downs. This resulted in my first prescription for anti-anxiety medication. I soon left that job, and after finding another position, eventually came off that medication. After a few small jobs, I started working for another company, and due to pressures of work, change to my daily routine, and added pressure of trying for a baby, I became very low and had anxiety again. This was when I was first diagnosed with suffering from depression. I had to see a therapist at the local hospital and was prescribed antidepressants. From that day onwards, I tried to pick myself back up and thought I was coping fine. I took myself off the medication so many times as I would rebel against it all and become sick of feeling so abnormal. Throughout the years, I have taken antidepressants on and off, but ceased taking them 14 months back as I felt okay and Steve and I were trying for another baby. I didn't fall pregnant, and after a while, everything seemed to get more and more of a struggle. I knew I was becoming ill again, but me being stubborn, wanted to manage by myself. But I wasn't coping either as a wife or as a mummy, and eventually the dark thoughts were creeping in, and they became more frequent with every passing day. I felt I was a terrible mummy to our beautiful daughter Molly and couldn't focus. I even got up one night, went to the bathroom and just stood staring at the cupboard, wondering how many paracetamols it would take to fall asleep and never wake up. Just so I could stop the bad thoughts and feelings. I eventually visited the doctors and was diagnosed with severe depression and allocated another therapist, more antidepressants, to help me cope. I didn't want this, but could not continue the way I was going. With this, I tried lavender scents to help me sleep, calming sprays to help me relax, and mantras to help my confidence levels, and any other suggestions my family or friends would come up with. Nothing seemed to be working. Then, back in early January, Steve, Molly and I went up to visit Tim and Susie, my brother-in-law and his wife. This was a late Christmas visit. Steve's family are all Christians, and they attended church regular, and Tim and Susie are no exception. Our visit just so happened to fall over a weekend, and as Tim was unwell, Susie wasn't going to go to church that Sunday. But she did say if we wanted to go, she would come with us. I suggested this to Steve, but he wasn't keen at first, but I felt myself getting very tearful at the thought of not going, and I felt I needed to visit. In the end, Steve, Molly, Susie and I went to her church in Derby, called Woodlands. When we arrived, I felt terribly nervous. I felt like an invader, not knowing the first thing about God, Jesus or the Holy Spirit, even though the minister, Tim, and the church members were so welcoming. But a quarter of the way through the service, I had a great sensation boil up inside me, an overwhelming joy. It was quite indescribable. When we returned, I mentioned to Steve what had happened and that I wanted to find a church when we got back home that was local to us and similar in congregation, service and ministry to that of Tim and Susie's church. I went on findachurch.com and Longmeadow Evangelical Church popped up. It was just round the corner. It was evangelical, just like the one in Derby, and Steve had met one of the pastors, David, through his work and thought him to be a nice chap. We came to church on Sunday, 24th of January this year, to see what we thought, and we've never looked back. The people here are a fantastic crowd. Ben and David are wonderful at their teachings and support. I feel so much like a member of the family here. I'm so overwhelmed with joy and peace, as finally that void in my soul and my heart has been filled. I have come to realise throughout my journey back into faith how important our Lord Jesus Christ is to me. Jesus has done so much for his people. He led a sin-free life, even though he was fully man. He showed us the way back to Christianity, performing miracles, because he was also fully God. Jesus showed us how to praise God and how to please him. He died on the cross bearing our sins, promising beforehand he would rise again. God allowed his only son to be sacrificed for us, to atone for our sins. Jesus dying was the only way to a Christian life, and through his resurrection we can trust in his word that he will return to us one day. Without Jesus' sacrifice, there would be no hope for mankind. So we have a lot to praise him for. If it wasn't for God staying with me and guiding me back to him, I can honestly say I would not be here, let alone delivering my testimony to you. My family and friends have, of course, given me their help and support, but God saved me. And I praise him and ask his forgiveness for those 17 years of hate, all directed towards him, blaming him for all the bad things that are happening. I know now that this wasn't his doing. God would never have wanted any of his children to suffer as they do. If God changed events every time they went wrong, or every time we asked him, it would get very tiresome for us and for him, having to recreate the world every time. I have now learnt to help myself and others with God's strength inside me. I no longer feel alone and afraid. We are all able to feel the presence of God and his power if we allow ourselves to be open. I must have felt God's presence trying to shine through that day at the church in Derby. This was the glimmer through a once bolted door, which I needed to unlock so that I could see the bigger picture. Once I had asked Jesus Christ into my life, a few months back now, that glimmer started to grow, and now I am gazing into a waterfall of light and hope. I am no longer looking for the negative side of life, but turning all those bad experiences into positive ones. No longer judging people nor taking them for granted, and encouraging others to take an uplifting step rather than a downtrodden leap. I want to end by saying thank you. Thank you to our Lord Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, a terrible and humiliating death, bearing our sins so that we can have salvation eternally. You were our perfect sacrifice, and you are the pledge and guarantee for acceptance with God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for showing me a path in life, for guiding me through my times of great darkness, for giving me Molly, our beautiful daughter, and for my family and friends. And thank you for Steve, my brilliant and loving husband. He's my rock and I love him so very much. Praise be to you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay, so let's go down now. Yeah. Great. Thanks so much, both of you, for sharing that and helping us to see a little bit of what God's been doing in your lives. We're going to sing a song now, and as we come to the end of the song, we'll go down into the water, Ben, myself, and Steve, and then Vicky afterwards, to baptise them both. And you'll be able to see it on the wall, so you don't have to sort of stand or gather around, but you'll be able to see that, hopefully, and witness together this dramatic act. We're going to sing a song that I think Vicky chose particularly. Jesus is the name we honour. He's the name we praise. He's got a majestic name above all other names, and we want to add our voice to heaven's, proclaiming Jesus is our God. Let's stand as we sing.
Oh, couple of questions just to confirm with you, Steve. I asked, do you repent of your sin before God? And do you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? It's my great joy and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That if you've chosen to put it from the church, Steve, then read that out, and then David Cunliffe, as part of your home group, I know, is going to pray for you.
Steve, this verse for you is from Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this afternoon for Steve. We thank you for those who faithfully sowed the seed in his early life. And we thank you for your great promise that those who are in your hand, none can pluck out. And we pray for Steve now, that he may know you to be his strength, to do all of the works that you have called him to do. We pray that he may know, indeed, from this day forward, the infilling of your Holy Spirit to enable him, to equip him, for those acts of service, that he may demonstrate in all that he does that he is not his own, but he belongs to you. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, in the days ahead, that as he has begun on this journey, he will know that you have begun a work in him and that you promise to complete it. That he may know, day by day, as you do that work in his life, that he may continue to look to you, to see your hand changing him to be more like the Lord Jesus. So we give you thanks today for your great grace to us, your undeserved love to us and to Steve, that together we may serve you, that we may serve one another, that Steve may be your instrument in your church today, that we together may grow to love you and serve you and be made ready for your kingdom when it comes. And that each of us, Lord, may take our responsibility to serve you in teaching Steve and in helping him through all the changes that will come his way. So bless him today for your glory. Amen.
The same questions. Do you repent of your sin before God, and do you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? That is my joy and privilege as well to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Vicky, your verse is from Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we do give you such thanks and praise today. Lord, we rejoice as we have witnessed this amazing baptism. We rejoice when we think of what you have done in Vicky's life. We praise you for your steadfastness, for your unchanging character, and for your love. Lord, that you have stood next to Vicky through all those years. Lord, you know her inside and out, and you love her. You have always loved her. And Lord, and she talks about looking into a waterfall of light, and you have made her into a daughter of light. That light now shines out of her for others around to see. I pray, Lord, that that love and that joy and that light would be ever present, that others wouldn't be able to fail to see that you are alive in her, that you have changed her and made her into a new person. And from this moment forward, Lord, I pray that she would grow in her faith and in her love and in her knowledge of you, that she would love your word, the Bible, and be able to spend lots of wonderful time with you and with your words, learning and growing. And thank you that you support and help her as she's a mummy too. I thank you for Molly, the beautiful daughter you've given them. Pray for them as a family, as they seek to live their lives for you. Might you bless and encourage and give them wisdom as they do that. So again, Lord, we thank and praise you today and tomorrow and in the weeks and months to come, for they are yours now. Thank you for Vicky and her wonderful saving faith. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you have become the one that she can depend on, rely upon. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's get changed. You'll be singing as we do that, but also there's water here. Have you been challenged today? It doesn't take long to fill. We're quite happy to do it again. If you're challenged about where you stand with Jesus and how to reflect that in your life, here's water. What stops you from being baptized? We'll sing the song, Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful.
Stay standing. There is another song there. O God, beyond all praising, we worship you today. Let's worship him for the wonderful testimony that he's brought into this place through Steve and Vicky today. And let's praise his name. Sing the amazing love. Even our songs are nothing like enough to repay him or praise him or thank him for all that he's done. But let's sing with joy in our hearts.
Oh,
close by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's great that everyone's been able to come today. I know some have come a distance. Even in the hot summer weather, Derbyshire is still quite a long way. So thank you for the Derbyshire contingent and for everyone for being here. It's great to be able to witness another baptism at the church, two baptisms. That's terrific, seeing what God is doing amongst us. If you're able to stay, do stay for refreshments afterwards. They'll be served fairly shortly. Hot and cold drinks as well. And for those who can stay even longer, at 7:30 this evening, just a reminder that the World Cup football final is being shown here. If you'd like to share in a fairly friendly atmosphere, although it depends how many of you are supporting Holland and how many are supporting Spain. But lovely to see you all. Thank you so much for coming and making this time so special for all of us, and especially for Steve and Vicky. Thanks very much.